Welcome to the special edition New Year's Pod, the annual New Year's Pod of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this on December 31st, 2024, which means the world has not ended. And, yeah, I just lied. This is not an annual New Year's pod. Some years I do, some days I don't. But, yeah, you know, typically around the time of New Year's, people get, you know, they either get really excited or they get really traumatized. They look back on the past year thinking that a set 365 days is a determination on their life trajectory, when it's really whatever 365 days you choose. Like, your 365 days could start in March and you just detect it at the next March, but for some reason that whole like calendar year is a determination for some reason, right? But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, this sweater looks like I carry girls in like a ballerina studio, hold them above my head. And I can see their poon under because I'm somersaulting, you know. Which, by the way, those guys are extremely fucking strong. They're crazy. Their shoulder press is probably insane. yeah, you know, don't underestimate a gymnast's strength. They typically are the strongest one, the strongest athletes out there. Is the guys that are, you know, holding girls up in the air. Have you ever held a cat in the air? You know. Cats are like in between 7 to 18 pounds if you feed your cat complete garbage. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. Hold a cat over your head for a minute. Then you talk to me about, oh, these guys are a little flamboyant. It's like, hey, I'd be a little flamboyant too if I was that confident, you know. you can have a great confidence to hold a, well, you know, grown woman could be a bit of a stretch. Well, talk about stretching a few things. They're very stretchy, like Play-Doh. And I'm pretty sure they play, though. But, yeah. But, you know, sorry, getting a little sidetracked here. I'm not big into looking under girls' garments. But, you know, look. If you're holding a girl, if you're holding a person over your head, your first instinct is going to be to look up to make sure you're bound to them, guy or girl. You're going to look at their junk or genitalia. I mean, hopefully they're wearing something. But you know, if they're not wearing any, they did it on purpose. Wink, wink. Yeah, that would be a crazy time to go commando when you know you got a competition. but yeah, no, I know. Kind of going off the rails here. But you know what? That's what the year has been. Off the rails. The Polar Express without a ticket. I love, you know, one thing I will say, it is important to, you know, appreciate the world for what it is, appreciate what it offers you. One thing I will say, a recent thing, right, is I've been really obsessing the Epstein stuff, right? I'm not really, like, into it because, you know, it's beware to say you're into Epstein. But I will say it's very fascinating to listen to ex-FBI agents or ex-CIA agents or ex-people that have very good knowledge of the situation and really go more in depth than what the media is willing to uncover. So I love, you know, I think a weird side subject of this podcast I want to talk about is my favorite podcast of this year. You know, my 2024 new podcast that I consistently listen to without really trying to listen to, you know. And this damn rat wants to fucking now that you're out here, you want to be center of attention, even though you want to scratch me in the face like I'm one of your putties. Yeah. You know, but, you know, my top podcasts that I've discovered this year that some are getting pretty big and popular, but I think some started at a very low place in terms of, like, you know, you start and where it's at now. I love this podcast called Camp Gagnon. It's with this guy named Mark Gagnon. He's actually a extra contributor, producer, extra co-host, whatever you want to classify him as, on the Flagrant podcast with Andrew Schultz. And for some reason, you know, it's weird how I think there's some that we gravitate more towards when we got, there's the big celebrity, big famous comedian podcast. There's people we discover through those shows, typically like smaller comedians or smaller people of, you know, famous stature. And they become more likable because they're still at that state of relatability. And they just seem a lot more genuine. You know, they fit into whatever the environment is. And I've really discovered a different side of this person. I've always liked him. I don't really watch or listen to Flagrant that much anymore. But, you know, it's just kind of, it's become one of those shows where it's, you know, it's just not really my thing. It's, their show has definitely become a lot more click YouTube baity, where it's, it doesn't really feel like authentic to what the original form is. It doesn't really feel like the point of it is just to be entertaining. It's almost self-serving in a way. And, but him, you know, he's kind of like the researcher slash, and it reflects on his own show that he does, because he has a lot of ex-FBI agent. He kind of discovers a lot of I won't even say conspiracies, because conspiracy has a negative connotation to it. But it definitely, he definitely likes to talk to more of the inside knowledge, whether it's ex-FBI agents, ex-CIA agents. And he'll have the same person on a podcast like multiple times in a couple months. And what I see from that is someone that is like, hey, like, I really enjoyed this. Like, I want to go deeper and deeper into this. And not just in this general, like, let's just talk and conversate. Like, this dude is prepared. Like, he never seems like he does not know what's coming next. Like, everything the other person says, he already has knowledge of, in a sense. Or at least he has the questions ready to get to the next level that hasn't been generally revealed. And it's genuinely, in my opinion, it's maybe one of the most underrated podcasts out there right now, Camp Gagnon. Not that someone with my subscribers or views amount is going to enhance their show, but I think it's important to bring awareness to shows that are really being underserved. They're being underserved because of the information that they are touching is very sensitive and is definitely being censored to a certain extent. So I think it's important to at least bring attention to that, you know. But yeah, it's one of my favorite recent. Now I've had more time and I'm getting more into listening to a more wider range of podcasts than before I listen to because of just my work and stuff like that. It's important to really expand your interest, to expand different people you listen to different types of shows you listen to, just kind of diversifying your viewing and listening array per se. Oh, it's going array, all right. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. But yeah. Also, I would say another podcast that's maybe on the up and ups, but it's been a staple of my favorite. It's two shows, I will say. I'll admit, I haven't really listened to them a lot in recent memory because I've been trying to stray away out of my comfort. But there's two shows. There's We Might Be Drunk and Tuesdays with Stories. They both have a similar person named Mark Norman. And they both have different co-hosts in terms of Joe List and Sambra. They're all like New York City comedians. They're both just like comedic. Tuesdays with Stories is literally just him and Joe List bantering back and forth with puns, telling stories. You get very lost into it. It's very funny, you know, whatever. You have to really dig the banter to really enjoy the show. We Might Be Drunk is a lot more interview based. They'll have guests on most time. You know, the whole base of the show is they're drinking with it. So they have a staple drink they have with it, with each episode. And it's kind of just, you know, it's a very loosely based, like, hey, you know, let's pull up some stuff, react to it, or whatever. But those are one of the more, you know, Tuesdays with Story, one thing that I love about it, it's been a show for the past 8 to 9 years, I believe. So they really have had a natural, organic audience with it. We Might Be Drunk is a lot more definitely commercially based. It's a lot more, we made this show because we both have a certain level, and this show can help enhance certain things. But at the very least, if you're just looking for some entertainment, passive, something that's just easy to listen in the background, you don't have to get too invested in the conversation, you laugh a little if you enjoy, I think those are one of the maybe New Year's shows you should tap into. And, you know, some a lot of people, you know, and it's kind of an admission of mine. I'll be honest, like, the biggest podcast in the world, the Joe Rogan Experience, it's one of those shows that has, do I still listen to it? Sure. I think one thing that it's hard to ignore is that it doesn't feel as, like, in tune. Like, it feels like Joe is not really in tune in the conversation and engagement in terms of intensity, right? Like, it seems a lot more pre-layered of when he's talking to, you know, whether it's politicians or just people that are out of his comfort zone, people that are not in his entertainment aspect, except if it's people he knows, like Andrew Huberman, Lex Fridman, Elon. Like, that's a lot more natural. It's obviously, there's a close relationship there. There's a different type of respect. But people that the public doesn't know to a certain extent, there's definitely like a, he doesn't really seem engaged. It definitely has become, it feels like the show has become more of a job than it is enjoyment. And look, it's obviously still a great job. He obviously enjoys it. You get that amount of money, you'll find ways to enjoy shit. All right. But it definitely doesn't feel like the Protect Our Parks episodes, where it's like every episode is just like them having a blast. It doesn't feel like the classic OG of a person he's debating could become the most trending thing, like the Steven Crowder situations or the Owen Benjamins or the wild guess that almost a terrible guess that became embarrassments for the guests became show more for, like, it brought popularity. It kind of brought like a contrast to shit. Like, this interview isn't, it could go anywhere in a natural conversationalist way. And it definitely has kind of veered from that. And, you know, even last year, I was a lot more like, you know, it's still the same show. But it's hard to admit that, like, yeah, there's definitely phases where it goes through, like, these definitely don't seem just like, yeah, we're just here to, you know, shoot the shit. We're just here to naturally see where it goes. There definitely does seem a preordained destination it goes to. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's still an entertaining, enjoying show. It's so great quality for the most part. It's still number one, number two, whatever technicality for a reason. But it is definitely not the 6 years ago live stream on YouTube, unedited, full version where it's like, it feels a lot more. It definitely does feel, maybe because of the deals, it definitely does feel a lot more preordained or in a box, right? So, I don't know. You know, there's nothing wrong with the show, but, you know. So, also another underrated YouTube channel. Look at me promoting channels that doesn't need my promotion. I will say an underrated YouTube channel is a former producer of the big popular show, Your Mom's House. Yes, that is a real show. It's a producer named Nadav. He kind of covers a lot of podcasting, but he also covers just a lot more of like the inside producer, the inside entertainment, all that stuff of what goes into producing a big popular podcast like that. Like the extreme like seriousness, the extreme like This is a real profession. They're real hot. It's very cutthroat. Because what you notice with these professions that look fun from the outside, it attracts a lot of people. It attracts a lot of people and things that just like thinks it's a lot more laid back. It's creative and artistic. In reality, it's very cutthroat because there's so many people that there's so many options you have for certain positions that the range of, the range of incompetence is not there to be had when there's so many people that could do the job, right? Because it's going to attract so many people that will look at it from the most naive perspective. That's not all just about how good you think you could do it. I don't know. What's the best way? But anyways, the very Nadav show. It's a very underrated YouTube channel I enjoy. I was a lot of weird different shit. Also, in terms of vlogging, I gotta say, I guess the show is just gonna be about shit I enjoy watching. So I'll probably, it's basically like a list of shit that maybe you should try out in 2025. I enjoy, and I'll admit that, I think I said this on the last episode, I enjoy, even though it's not my thing, I enjoy watching people eat food. And it's a weird thing. I don't enjoy the mukbangs. That shit is weird as fuck. I don't care about whatever the fuck ASMR means. I think that just means let's heighten up the sound and watch people chew on crab legs. Not really my thing. I don't care to watch your fingers be oily from all the butter. I don't give a shit. I don't care to watch like hot Cheetos being consumed in mass amounts or, you know, 20,000 calories of Taco Bell. Even though I did just watch a guy consume 12,000 calories of weight gainer. talk about a problem to have, you know. That you have, you know, there's two sides of the coin. You could be the person that it's impossible to gain weight. Or the person where, like, you know, you eat bad for a couple days, you gain 15 pounds. Like, and it feels like it. And it affects everything in your life, you know. But yeah. So there's these channels I enjoy watching. Like Carissa Eats. Her voice turns off a lot of people. But either it turns you off or it turns you on. Not like that. But she definitely has a very inviting, joyful voice where it's very positive, almost annoyingly positive. Like everything you eat, even if it's a 4 out of 10, you're this excited about. Like, shut the fuck up. But, you know, I guess it would be better to be more positive than negative, especially you reviewing food. Now, here's a smaller channel I enjoy in terms of food review. It's this channel called this guy, all of these New York City shit, James Andrews. He goes to a lot of fine dining, restaurants. And it's a very laid back, just kind of, he gives you a little like a minute or two presentation where he's going, kind of his thought process and all this stuff, like what his expectation is, his excitement, his preparation, a little background of the restaurant, when it was open. He goes to the restaurant, has his camera set up. It's simply a fine dining. Sometimes it's a lot more, you know, remedial, like Korean barbecue places or, you know, just unique places that isn't fine dining. But it's definitely a lot of tasting menus, which, by the way, tasting menus, the fact that people pay $180, $200 to get samples of shit is one of the craziest things to me, you know. And I get it. That's poor people talk, you know. But, you know, I think there is a value base. Like, come on. I'm going to go to a restaurant. And he'll admit, like, sometimes he'll go to these fine dining, tasty mini restaurants where he spend hundreds of dollars getting 5 or 6 courses, quote unquote. And the courses are like a portion of a portion within a portion of the actual what the course would be. It'll be like 2 pieces of stuffed ravioli, but it's got some unique tomato basil sauce. Like, eat my dick. But whatever. It's about the experience. It is enjoyable to watch food reviewers. It almost feels like you're watching a New York Times review, but in a video form. And, you know, his channel is growing smaller. I just want to give a shout out. It's something I enjoy. He puts out a video like once a week. I basically have caught every single video, just in the natural. I never like look it up. It just shows up my algorithm and I always click on it. It's enjoyable. So yeah, check out James Andrews. Yeah, you know, I think what you notice with, just kind of give an honest assessment of my listening habits. And I only say mine because I feel like it's relatable. You notice, when you notice like your listening habits of stuff you listen to naturally change over time, your first instinct is to kind of worry, is there something wrong with me? Whoa, like you take a step back, am I like, because it's almost like if I'm changing too much too fast, am I not being consistent enough? And when you start listening to different type of shows, or you start just stop listening to someone or stop listening to a show, and you're like, damn, I haven't seeked out an episode of that show in 8 or 9 months. And the show didn't necessarily become bad or uninteresting while you stopped listening, but there's a reality, regardless if you have a job or not, there's a reality. There's only so much shit you can watch or listen to in a day. Like, there's a lot of shit out there. So you really do have to kind of pinpoint, like, what matters to me at this point? What's going to give me the most of what I'm looking for? Am I looking for something mindless? Am I looking for something that's really new and engaging? Something where it's just, you want to learn more about someone that maybe you relate to and maybe you could apply to your life, or seeking, you know, governmental information about Epstein, you know, as a bigger picture of things. Like, to hear this FBI agent, for example, talk about, he legitimately holds the Blacklist book, basically the book that, you know, Epstein used, the black, that he kept recorded of people, famous people, people's numbers, as people he has compromised or blackmailed, essentially, just in case, you know. It is wild. Like, you know, you know what the weird thing is, in real time, I was not really too, not that I was not aware of it, not that I wasn't like, yeah, this shit's pretty fucked up, but I was not really obsessed into the Epstein fallout of like what it really means. I'll admit, like, oh yeah, I know he didn't, you know, get killed, like, I know he didn't hang himself, like, you know, whatever, like, and I was like, what does it really matter? And as time goes on, you really learn more about, you have a lot more, you have time to think about things, you're like, yeah, this shit's pretty impactful, you know, when you really think about the deeper scale of like, who is all walking out here free, making money, profiting, living a normal life, when they participated in the same garbage, you know, but they had to have a fall person because they had so much information that if the public really knew, probably to the extent they did, like, we wouldn't look at a lot of these people that we are assuming that were invited to these parties and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, not to get too off kilter there, but yeah. Let's see, another channel. Let's see, another YouTube. I will also, another thing, I've been really into watching like more vlogs of investment bankers. I don't know what's wrong with me this year. I'm not into watching investment bankers because I give a fuck about investment banking. It's more of watching like the life of, the daily life of that lifestyle. I think that's intriguing, right? It's like, really, like, damn. So we choose these professions. Like, there was this one girl, I forgot her name, but I did subscribe to her channel. I do find her channel interesting, where she became like, she was like maybe a year or two out of college, investment banking, you know, live the whole lifestyle in New York, blah, 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 occupying 70 to 80 hours of her life. She's basically on call all the time, even though she's at the building. But even on the weekend, she kind of has to work at home. And the reason why they're always on call is because, like, these are pretty big clients that they need adjustments to things. They need adjustments, you know. It's a lot of, you're convincing people to invest in things, and you have to have a constant relationship with these people, because you're literally not in charge because it's still their decision, but you are really holding the hands to their financial future, doing the right things, you know, in the most optimistic way. Let's just be honest. And just saying, like, I watched a video too. She didn't make a video for like almost 8 or 9 months, or maybe almost a year, 6 months. She quit her job. She found a new job in marketing where it's still pretty time consuming, but it's all different type of stress, and it's at least new and exciting. It's crazy that someone just like, they got their whole degree in something, did it for a year or two, and like, nah. And people in the comments even say like, hey, I can see how much just changing these jobs, how much it did for you. Like, your eyes look different. You look healthier. You look less stressed. Your life looks, you know, you just look much happier. And, you know, I during a certain time frame, when I was watching those things that happened to be related to me, and it's like, oh, see? You know? It's crazy out here. So, yeah. Even though at least they got breaks when they were at their job. Sorry, I had to take a subtle shot somewhere. Still running 30. Even though I'm not working, I'm running 30. If you know, you know. But yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, let me think of some other channels. Mr. Ballin, which, I mean, look, it's one of the biggest channels on YouTube. It has almost like 10 million subscribers. But I'm not really into like listening to long stories like that. I'm really not. But I don't know, he has a captivating way of it's simplistic. You know, it's just him talking. He has a really just distinct way of just like keeping you engaged, even though it's pretty predictable how he's going to say things. And you could kind of predict like the end, because it's the same type of format. We're going to build it up, give enough details, and then boom, like the last 2 or 3 minutes reveal. And then, actually, remember the thing I told you when we brought it to the woods? He actually shot her in the face, you know? That type of thing. But, you know, that's the channel I've been into. It's definitely shown, like, a lot of different interests. And I think that's part of, I would say, for the New Year's bash. I don't know who really watches these New Year's ball dropping, but I think Orlando, that's a true story. I don't know, I forgot what their fucking fruit is, but whatever their fruit is, they're not doing it this year. I do not know why they're not doing it this year, but they're not doing it. And it's crazy. I don't know how important it is to go to these New Year's bashes, right? Because I was watching some, oh, also, another channel, Here Be Bar. He has about like 500, over 500,000 subscribers. It's a New York, kind of like a food slash tours attraction. It's basically, it's about the New York City, like food, the New York City attractions. Kind of like, if you're a tourist going to New York, this is the breakdown of how to go about the good spots, all this stuff. It's a really good channel. Even if you don't plan on going there anytime soon, it's still just entertaining at the very least. And it's kind of like a tourist guide, but on YouTube. And, you know, it's him going around eating at places he knows, good values, blah, blah. And he, shit, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, shit. God damn it. Yeah, that's a good channel. God damn it. I hate when I be forgetting shit like that. Shit. That shit irritates the fuck out of me. Yeah. But you know, that's one of those things, like channels like that, where I'm really into like food touristy stuff. I'm really into watching New York City stuff. LA stuff, not really. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching, I think it says on the episode before, the Vietnam, the guy who, like, pro people live in America, but they're like passport bros. They go live in Vietnam or Taiwan for a year, and the expenses are crazy cheap or whatever. I enjoy watching this stuff because, you know, it would be interesting, but I think the hassle of everything involving going there, the learning the language is what would hold the typical person back. And that is the thing, because you don't want to just go somewhere and feel so at loss where you can't even communicate how to get around. You don't know how to drive in a lot of these places because it's just 98% different, you know? It's everything. It just feels like the stress of living somewhere new like that, I think, is what would scare people. Now, I know there's tour guides. I know there's, people that help you break in and stuff like that. But that shit's not cheap either. And, you know, unless you just have endless money, you still gotta worry about having a fucking job there, you know? But yeah. It's weird because, you know, we are in such a consumer society, me included, where we enjoy watching other people experience life, experience traveling, experience these cities, these countries. And that's almost like just enough fulfillment in a weird way. Like watching someone go to, you know, Times Square, walking around, feeling the environment, talking about the pros and the cons, talking about the pros and the cons of, you know, Chinatown, talking about the pros and cons of Soho, and these different, you know, on-the-go good eats, because we deem these places to be so goddamn expensive. And then it's like, people that live there are like, nah, I mean, you can find reasonable, affordable shit to eat. You can find cheaper stuff there to eat than you do in places where I live that you would think would be the cheapest, you know. They got great deals there too. You just got to know the area. But if you were to have someone come here, you know, from those cities, they would probably have a hard time finding good deals too. You know, it's really, I mean, with the internet nowadays, it basically kind of all explains to you. But yeah, it's just crazy out here, you know? Yeah, I did think about this, right? So, like, call her daddy. I didn't even know. Like, I don't even keep up with these deals anymore. Like, this is how, like, out of the loop I've been. I feel like I've lived in the island for, like, 8 months, and I've come back to civilization and found out that call her daddy is a $125 million deal with Sirius. Which is insane. I don't know if it was 125, but it was some crazy-ass number. But it was, like, some crazy that she signed another deal with Sirius. It's like, damn, it's already been, like, 3 years. But it's pretty insane to think about. Like, I was thinking, like, so the term, call her daddy. Would it have the same ring, you know? If a guy came up with a show called Call Me Mommy, call her, I guess these days, call her Zaddy, call her Mama, call him Mama, or would that just be kind of a sad, desperate attempt, you know? I know, that's kind of stupid, but, you know, I think it only works because it's a form of, the title only works because it's a form of empowering a gender or empowering a position that is deemed to be lower than daddy, you know? But, you know, there is a lot of critiques towards her shows where it used to be a lot more. I don't watch or listen to the show. I will admit this. I've never really listened to it. I think I tried to listen to it a long time ago when it was her and the previous co-host, who completely fumbled the bag, by the way, I gotta say. Now, that's living with some regret. Or you, like, that bitch fumbled the bag. You know, I don't like using the term fumbled the bag. You know, like, but goddamn, that bitch fumbled the bag. whoever her partner, Sophia Franklin, that's what her name was. You know, she had, you know, this is where, this is where when you meet a new partner in your life and they try to engage in your personal job matters, you got to be like, yeah, I think you should shut the fuck up. And that's what she should have told this guy. Whoever this business manager of her was, yeah, you completely fucked her over. I just gotta say. Because that show was going to get a big deal. That show was going to make some money. And it seemed like they had a rapport going. Now, her business partner, Sophia, Alex's partner, Sophia. Jesus, I'm going off the rails here. Talking about, woo. And I know it's like an old-ass story. But, like, our business partner is like, nah, you need to negotiate more. Or you could threaten to go on your own. And, okay. So she went on her own. Alex went on her own. And not too much long after, that's when she got the big deal. And even then, people were like, well, you know what? You just got to bet on yourself. And you know what? Sometimes, now, you know what? When you're with someone that is carrying the weight, no, bet on them and stick with them and hold on to. Yeah, that's where the whole bet on yourself culture kind of has fucked a lot of people over. People always think that going independent, that going the long, hard yellow brick road is what's going to get you the most money at the end or the most rewards. And she found out real quick, like, nope, it's going to completely fuck your life. It's going to completely make you fuck some shit up. Now, you know, maybe she's doing great for herself, you know. But she's not doing two deals with Spotify and SiriusXM good. I can tell you that. But one thing that people have critiques of is, like, you know, when the show first started, it was all about, you know, because they were single women, especially Alex. She was a single woman, you know, so living in the city and stuff and kind of her experiences dating and shit like that. So basically, if you went on a date with her, you're going to become content. And over time, you know, she has these famous stories where the podcast got big. And, but now that she's married, you know, or she's engaged, getting married, she has a soulmate, the love of her life, the show has naturally changed to a more mature, to a more, it's not all about just, you know, fucking and sucking dick of a guy she was with last weekend. You know, it was, it's a lot more interview based, a lot more in-depth personal about, you know, finding yourself and, you know, maybe your experience sexually and how that made you the person you are today. But it's not really, you know, it's a lot more of a podcaster interviewing people and letting the conversation naturally go where she wants to. It's not really this sexually based show anymore. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, there's a natural evolution of people where shows change over time. And there's some people like, well, if this isn't going to be the show that I subscribe to, then they should just make another show and make it that focused. It's like, or you could just unsubscribe to the show. And yeah, there's plenty of sex shows out there. I promise you, they're out there. But yeah, but you know, it just goes to show that stop betting on yourself. You know, here's the moral lessons of 2024. Do not bet on yourself. I guess I'd say 2025. Do not bet on yourself. If you were thinking about betting on yourself, absolutely do not do it, because you will end like Sophia. Not to shame her, but you know, I'm just saying. This is why, when you get too many people in your ear, when you're the one doing the shit, and then there's other people telling you what you should or shouldn't do, stop giving me advice. Which, by the way, Jack Harlow dropped a random video called Tranquility, where it's just a very loosely based beat where he just flows on it. It sounds nice, sounds cool. And there's some reflection of, like, you know, I did some songs that had hard verses but no substance, and songs with no longevity, but this upcoming thing's going to be a hit. And you know what? The next single's probably going to be like a Lovin' on Me. You know? What does 2025 have for us in terms of albums, you know? Is there going to be a Drake renaissance? Because obviously Kendrick just dropped the album. Is there going to be a Drake renaissance? Is there going to be these big artists in these? I mean, Morgan Wallen just dropped a song and he smiled, which, I don't know, the song's kind of weird, I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of boring. But you know what? It's heartwarming, I guess. But I wonder what's coming up this year. What big artists are dropping the big ones, you know? You know, who's making, you know, some fire in the studio, as they say? Are people dropping more because of pressure? Are people dropping more? And I came across a video where a person who is friends with Juice WRLD, and I'm not a big Juice WRLD fan, like, I don't really listen to music. But here's this weird conundrum of contradiction I don't think people realize. The dude literally made a video. He posts on the internet saying, I was like one of his only real, this is how you know I was a good friend to him. Listen to what I said to him about quitting whatever substance. And it's like, you realize you are literally posting a video on YouTube, on a public platform, that you can make money off of, that you're probably making money off the video, profiting off of someone's demise because of advice you gave them and said, I did my part. And then you're going to take some money because of how many views the video is going to get. You don't realize how kind of fucked up that is? You're literally profiting off someone's inebriated moment where you try giving them advice. Now, see, I try to help them. It's like you telling someone in a studio while he's sitting there doing some substances isn't really saying like, hey, I think you should take a week cleanse. Oh, really? You're saying you should take a week cleanse after you record the fucking album? Because you didn't say take a week cleanse starting today. Like, hey, drop what you're doing right now. Forget this album. You need to go to rehab or whatever. Or we need to... No, you're like, well, you know, I think after, you know, we creatively get whatever juices out of you, I think we should think about doing a cleanse. And use that as a way to make yourself seem like you're some great-ass person. You are part of the... Because you know what? You watch someone demise himself all the time, too. And all you did... You didn't necessarily... And look, you can't really stop someone from being self-destructive or doing things that are gonna harm them. But at the same time, don't act like you were sitting here like willing to sacrifice what you benefited from it, being a producer or being a friend of his. Don't act like you did everything you could at the risk of what you benefited from it for his well-being. That's all I gotta say. That's what I picked up from the video. I know it's kind of an asshole-ish thing to say from afar, but you posted the video on your own fucking channel and try to take credit of you being a good-ass friend. Like, eat my dick. And that's the thing, you know, like this, and not to be insensitive here, I think what we can learn from this year with these unfortunate celebrity deaths, I know Juice WRLD was actually a few years ago, but like the Liam Payne's, for example, like people got issues, man. You know, people got their own demons or substance abuse. And I think what we could take away is that you cannot stop someone's downward spiral of inevitability. You know, it's still sketchy what kind of happened there. Like, did he fall off a balcony? Was he overdosed? That led to something? I don't know. But it definitely leads to something that's very similar to, like, the Michael Jackson shit. The Whitney Houston to an extent where it's really, like, people have these specific drug dealers. They have these dealers that are consistently giving them what they ask for, what they need. And this is a problem when you have quote-unquote teams. And, yes, like, having a team, having an agent. When you start having an entourage and teams, and you start getting a bunch of people infiltrating into your habits. Because anytime I start hearing the word, they got their team taking care of it, what I hear is they don't think for themselves. They've gotten to the point where they can't make decisions for themselves. They gotten to the point where they have to have so many people infiltrating outside noise or outside things to avoid being a detriment to themselves. And that's a very sad place to be in. Like I understand we get to a certain point. You gotta have levels of, you know, management to protect you. You got to have PR and all that shit. Like, it's stupid. Because really what PR says to me is that you cannot stand for what you say. So you got to have people protect your words because you don't really want to stand by it. You always want to be able to protect your quote-unquote money, per se. And it kind of just shows you lack the character to be able to say something and either stand by it or apologize for it yourself. And not have to hide behind a bunch of technicalities. That's what that stuff says to me. I'm just being honest from afar. People are so obsessed with having teams, HR, all this stuff. And it kind of feeds the purpose of having power for yourself. Be able to lead your own path. Be able to kind of be the man or person in charge of your own operation. Because that's really what it's all about. Like, if you're not in charge of your own operation, you're not really in charge of nothing. You're basically at mercy of what everyone does with the means that you provide and bring everyone. It's pretty insane to me. You know? I guess it's crazy to me when you hear these stories about having managers or people making your schedule minute by day. Like, yes, you need a schedule. All right? Like, yes, you got to have structure. You got to know what times to be at places and blah, blah, blah. And have someone to be on your ass about that shit. But at the same time, to really not be able to be like, hey, you know what? Tell me what times I need to be places. And I'll decide when I wake up. I'll decide when I want to go work out. I'll decide when I want to hang out with my kids. I'll decide when I want to fucking go out and do whatever the fuck I want. But it's crazy that these people have, like, people that won't let them leave that. People that won't let them go to places. People that won't let them, because they're so worried about protecting a fucking image. Like, your image is you, what you put out there. But you know what? That's why I'm the recap 2024, you know, my podcasts, don't even give me in the music. My music changes are pretty sus, you know. I'd be listening to Sabrina Carpenter. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Got some catchy shit. You know, I was very, not anti it, but you know, I was very like, all right, this just sounds like some standard ass. And I gotta say, she's got some interesting lyrics to her. That is not some traditional lyric she's got going on. And I gotta give it to her when it comes to that. But yeah, no, my listening stuff is pretty similar but different. My podcasting shit has changed tremendously. So, and my YouTube preferences have changed a lot too. So, I would say if you naturally engage in different interests, that's okay. Just be okay with letting your mind naturally gravitate. As long as you feel like you're doing things that naturally transition in those things, that's fine. So, yeah. I think I'll end the podcast there, you know. This was the New Year's 2024 edition of the Off and Be Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most support, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. And that was episode 315, by the way. I don't know if I said that. But yeah, I gotta pee. So have a great day, morning, night, evening. Meep, meep. Yeah. Goddamn, thunder thighs. When I came up, literally my belly just...